And welcome back to Cinema Vino. It's good to have you all back.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is going to be a special mini pod talking about Thor, Love and Thunder, which came out in wide release yesterday.
Yes.
Sneak previews on Thursday. So, yeah. We're going to try to keep things pretty spoiler free.
Sean's not here because he hasn't seen it yet.
Yeah, he got evicted from the Big Brother house.
He's voted out.
So that'll be in style. I try to avoid spoilers in my reviews as a rule. That's the one thing, my nitpick about Roger Ebert back in the day, he had a tendency to reveal a little bit too much.
Mm-hmm. So, but we've got Todd Wofford.
Todd Wofford, Travis Budd, Taylor Owens.
Yep.
Yeah.
And no Sean.
No Sean. Yep, not yet.
Yep.
He will join us in our next episode. We're drinking Broadbent, Vino Verde, wine from Portugal. We've drank some Vino Verdes before. I mean, I was going to do some stuff that ages well and some stuff that, like, doesn't age well, and I scrapped all of that because it is so goddamn hot.
It's steamy. It's
tasty, though.
Yeah. I'm just going to do stuff for this podcast and the next couple podcasts that drinks well chilled.
Drinks summertime well?
Ones. It's basically Satan's butthole.
Oh, here. Drinks yeah. well, not drinks will.
Yeah.
Are you okay? I'm just saying okay. This bitch needs to enunciate.
Okay. Hey, Blinken. Not Abe Lincoln. Because, high next week, one day, supposed to be 108.
Yeah.
It sucks.
It ain't right.
No. So I couldn't bring myself to do any red wines for this podcast. So.
Chilly Willy.
Now, at the time being, we're going to do wines that we can drink cold. Yeah. So, Vino Verde is Portuguese. It translates roughly as green wine, spring wine. It is made from local Portuguese grapes. It's lower in alcohol. It's easy drinking.
Oh, yeah, what's that? Hand me.
This is our next one. This will be the rosé.
Yeah, oh, you didn't bring
it. It's right about the
Broadbent. Oh, there it is, Broadbent.
I think it's 9%. Hold on.
Easy.
They're usually a little lower in alcohol. This one's 9%, yeah.
Oh.
So, and I told Sean, it reminds me of back when they used to do the, I saw a thing on NPR about how they did diners and, like, truck stops where they do, like, low, like, strength coffee, stuff you can drink all day. To me, Vino Verde is that in wine form. It's a wine that you can, it's a session wine.
All day, day.
Yeah. It's like, it's you can take it out on a picnic and just keep drinking.
Reminds me of a girl I used to know.
Reminds me of me. Never mind.
That's only you if you want
to. Yeah, that's pretty.
But yeah, they're fun little wines. I mean, they're just light bodied. One of the lightest bodied wines you can get.
Yeah.
I think it's
just the opposite of Chris Hemsworth, who's a hard body.
Yeah. Yeah, he's stud muffin. Those were some glutes.
God, those traps.
Yeah, and delts and the whole bit.
Yeah.
Not so much for Russell Crowe.
He got some big old back muscles.
Yeah, it's funny. I told my wife, she was interested in going to see this movie, and she's like, yeah, maybe I can do like 6:30 or 7. And I was like, you get to see Chris Hemsworth naked. And she's like, or 2:30.
Yeah.
So we went to the 2 o'clock show.
Joanna went too?
Yeah, she went and saw it too. That definitely sold her.
Cheeking around old Cheek Town.
Yeah.
Naked. Cheekdelphia.
Naked Chris Hemsworth was the deal maker on that one.
Yep.
Okay, so this will be, we'll try to keep it spoiler free. Just a quick background on the movie. So it was released yesterday, directed by Taika Waititi, who is a Kiwi.
That means he's from New Zealand.
He's from New Zealand. Or as they say, New Zealand.
New Zealand.
That's not how that's pronounced.
Uh-huh. So he's directed What We Do in the Shadows, Thor Ragnarok, and Jojo Rabbit, for which he was nominated for Academy Awards for screenplay and directing. Mm-hmm. Chris Hemsworth returns as Thor, as does Natalie Portman, who was not present for the last movie, Thor Ragnarok. She had mentioned that she was bored with playing the damsel in distress, didn't want to come back and do it again. And Taika Waititi promised her a bigger, meatier role for Jane Foster, so then she agreed to come back. This film was due, I believe, last year to be released, but got delayed like everything else due to COVID. Basic plot synopsis: after the events of Endgame, Thor is kind of spiritually lost. He searches for direction, and so he teams up with the Guardians of the Galaxy. They go off on a little adventures and meet people, and basically they walk to Earth, you know. And his crisis only gets worse. He's kind of having a love crisis, life crisis, everything. And so eventually they get a distress signal. The Guardians cut him loose to go deal with it on his own, him and, you know, Korg, the rock monster. And so meanwhile, back on Earth, Jane Foster, Natalie Portman, not giving too much away, but she gets called to Mjolnir, and figures out that she can wield it and gain the powers of Thor. But there comes a price, and she also has a dark secret going into that situation. And so she becomes the mighty Thor and helps fight bad guys. So Thor and Mighty Thor getting drawn together to fight Gore, the God Butcher, played by Christian Bale, who is a...
Who has lived long enough to see himself become the villain.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. He is, I have down here, he's a rage-fueled creature. In my review, I said he's a cross between Lord Voldemort and Gollum in terms of his appearance. He looks like the two of them had a baby.
Teeth, yeah.
Which is a frightening mix. Yeah. In the wake of his daughter's death, he swears vengeance on all gods. He renounces his god and then swears blood vengeance on all gods. He gains the Necro Sword, and which gives him a curse and the power to carry out his revenge. And so he goes searching for and begins killing gods wherever he can find them. So this puts him up against Thor and ultimately puts the fate of the universe at stake. And that's far as I go in the plot.
Yeah.
So I'll give my thoughts on it after you guys give yours. I want to start with Taylor. What do you think?
I saw this movie with Travis. And
we held hands.
We did hold hands.
Interlocking fingers.
Yeah.
We got popcorn. I held it in my lap. I cut a hole in the bottom.
I still didn't. I didn't touch anything. I didn't feel anything. Mm-hmm. So that's sad for Travis.
Yeah.
But
I still finished. He ate the popcorn.
Okay. Right. I will preface this as, and I'm not trying to, because Travis brought it up too if we were leaving the movie, but two people walked out. And one person was asleep in our film. This I described as cute.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I did not think this was a Marvel movie at all. This was a Watiki movie. Mm-hmm. You could have replaced any of the characters, and this would have been a phenomenal movie.
Yeah.
It was just a Watiki movie with happened to use Thor characters.
Yeah.
Or Marvel characters.
Yeah.
I liked the movie. There were some great one-liners. That I wasn't like hysterically laughing at, but I chuckled.
Yeah.
There were some surprise cameos of bigger actors, and I thought that was just so weird. I was like, why do they need to be in here? Is that more of a comic thing? Or a comedy thing. I felt like it was just not a Marvel movie at all.
Yeah.
I did like it. But I would not classify this as a Marvel movie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I read your review and I thought your rating was, you know, very spot on.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
If I was telling people, you know, like, hey, you know, did you go see it? Like, I did. I was like, are you a huge Marvel fan? Did you love Endgame? And I was like, yeah. It's like, well, you're probably not going to like this one. Yeah. And it was like, because this is not a Marvel movie, in my opinion. But was everything awesome? I mean, the visual effects, you know. You know, spoiler alert, they go meet some different gods. And it is, you know, that whole scene was just beautifully done. I was like, man, it's so crazy to see, like, how well CGI is come. It's like, yeah. Man, it's just immaculate. But then there was, like, there were a couple things where I was like, what in the hell? And It was like, one of the gods, I was like, really?
It's goofy.
Why is, exactly, it was just it was too goofy. And I'm like, I can't, there was never a point when I could take this film serious. Even when you said there was a few things in Jane's back life, it's like, even that was a huge thing, but I couldn't take some of the movie seriously.
Yeah.
You just had to sit back and be like, I know this is like an emotional moment, but I still just can't get into it.
It's so silly.
Yeah, it's like, I just can't, yeah. It's like silly, cute is what I kept saying, which I don't think you should call a Marvel movie cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's what it should be.
Yeah.
So I will say this. We'll probably not go see it again, but I will say that, you know, it's worth the watch, but you have to know, I think, what you're getting into. It's like, it's just not a Marvel movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Travi?
Yeah, so Taylor and I are kind of on the same page, except I disliked it a little more. There was, even Taylor said when I went over to his house right before this, that he had just seen a trailer for Thor.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, that is very misleading.
100%. Yeah. It was like, there was little to no words at all. It was just all the action sequences and everything. And it was just like, you know, like Thor Returns, Love and Thunder in theaters only. And I was like, whoa, people going to be pissed off. And it was like, because you know, that 1 minute, I was like, damn, they did a good job of this. It's like, but that is not what this movie is. That is not what this movie, and they, And they started from the beginning being goofy.
Yeah.
Like straight on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it felt like a parody film. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, if you've seen any of the Scary Movie films, 1 through 4, or the disaster movies, or it really felt like, and I can't remember the name of the film, the one with, like, Michael Cera, James Franco, and Seth Rogen, where, like, you know, there's Armageddon and the world is ending, and they have a whole bunch, like, Emma Watson shows up for a little bit. Yeah, they just have celebrity pop-ins mm-hmm. every once in a while. We're like, oh, okay, well, that's interesting. But it felt like, this movie felt like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Like, it was that kind of tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't, like, the beginning was good, and I was like, oh, okay, here's some levity. But they kept trying to infuse some drama in there.
Yeah.
And then they would be like, I guess they were, I don't know if, it also felt like a Judd Apatow film where they were just going to let the characters riff and start trying whatever jokes they wanted to. And he decided to leave it in. Like, I thought they were going off on a rescue mission, but then they had to sit there and have like a long, too long scene mm-hmm. that went about, you know, talking about leaving other characters and going off or doing like, I was like, hold on. Isn't there somebody in distress right now?
Is yeah.
No. Are there stakes in this film or are there not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they get there quips. Yeah. And they get there too late. And I'm like, well, you guys had to fucking have character development conversation for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But you know, whatever. Cool. There was just so much, like Taylor said, there was, I mean, if I may, spoiler alert right here, there was a talking dumpling in the film.
That's what I was. Yeah, I didn't spoil it, but
not a major spoiler. Yeah. Hopefully, the dumpling's not spoiled.
No, but it was that ridiculous. No, like, yeah. There's so many things that they've used, like Guardians of the Galaxy. They did a callback to Howard the Duck, talking alien duck.
But that was kind of cool.
But mm-hmm. that's actually in the comics,
it's and a Marvel character.
Yeah, yeah. So, and they also made some weird choices with Christian Bale as Gore the God Butcher. The beginning, I was like, okay, I get it. I'm on board. And then some of the end parts of the character, there was a scene in the middle that, based on his character at the beginning, didn't make any damn sense.
Yeah, he was all over the place.
It was just like, it feels like Taika Waititi has gotten a little bit too drinking his own Kool-Aid, thinking he can do no wrong.
Yeah.
And this was just, and nobody giving him notes and being like, hey, we need to pare this back.
Yeah.
Like, again, the parts with Natalie Portman as Jane Foster when she was doing dramatic stuff was great. But they've even said that there was a ridiculous amount of stuff that wound up on the cutting room floor with whole other characters. I guess Peter Dinklage was supposed to come back as the dwarf that forged the Stormbreaker, the hammer. And Lena Headey from Game of Thrones was supposed to be in there with
them.
And then Jeff Goldblum as the Collector was supposed to have another cameo.
Well, yeah, because it was just under 2 hours. Mm-hmm. It was a short Marvel film. Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah. Okay.
Which I welcome that.
I was okay with it too,
but they tried to cram in way too much.
Yeah, it was 2 hours.
Yeah. It was. Yeah, they were winking at the audience too much. Mm-hmm.
And pat themselves on the back.
Yes. Yeah. And this was, and there was, again, Natalie Portman said she had a bunch of scenes with Tessa Thompson that had more of their friendship, so you could see how they got to the friendship that you see on screen.
Yeah.
But they're like, well, we lost some of that on the cutting room floor. There were more scenes together. That's what it felt like this film was missing. It was missing some of those scenes, and like half of the jokes that they made could come out for me.
Yes.
Yeah. It was too much of, again, a celebrity in the middle of it that they were just making... I don't want to say making a mockery of that. I was that angry. Like, oh my God, I can't believe you would do this. It was just too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Went a long way.
Yeah.
I think when we were walking out, I said, you know, we were talking about like the phase, you know, whatever phase four, whatever it is. And it was like, you know, the one thing I say about this film is I don't think this film was directed or made for people in our age group. I felt like it was made for like a younger generation. Cause it was like during the credits, I go, was this PG-13? Because it feels PG-13 big time. Like, it was like, even that final battle sequence, and it was like, okay, I feel like they're trying to go for some type of younger generation. It was like those classic Disney movies where, it's cute and funny, but there's those innuendos for the adults, which I was like, is that what I'm watching right now? Yeah, I'm watching a film that's made for younger kids.
Cartoon.
Yeah, I was like, it's made for younger kids, and there's these other lines in here that are, you know, made for adults. But I was like, I don't know what this, who they're even actually going after in this film. Like, who's your target audience? Because it sure as hell ain't Marvel fans.
Yeah. Well, like, and they do have, there's a mid-credit scene that's, again, just kind of a cameo that people will be like, oh, cool, this might be neat. Mm-hmm. And then there's an end credits also, which could be interesting. Like, I don't know. I mean, it could be bigger than what it is. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
So basically, definitely stay for both end credits things. Yeah. Obviously, if you're going to see a Marvel film anyway, do that. But so, what do you think?
What would you give it, 1 to 10?
Man, for me, it's better than Dark World, but this is, this had a little bit too much Thor Ragnarok in it, and I really want to give it a 5 or a 5.5.
Yeah, that's fair.
Out of 10.
Yeah.
I was not enthused. Like, it wasn't the worst thing I ever saw, but like, after the first 10 or 15 minutes, I was rolling my eyes, and my eyes did not stop rolling the entire time.
Yeah, that was, it was a lot of work, a lot of CGI work, a lot of stuff for that film.
It was very busy.
Like, very busy.
And, visually and
Again, this is no spoiler at all, but they did a screaming joke, a screaming goat joke, and they used it
The entire
18 times.
Oh, yeah, the entire film.
I don't know
how. You and I are of the same mind.
Yeah.
It was so much. Like, oh, okay, it was funny once.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see it, you know, if what they say in comedy, 3 times is the funniest that you can do, right?
Yeah.
You do it once, you're like, ha, 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 that was funny. Then you see it again, you're like, oh, I'm in on the joke. Ha, 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 ha. It's even funnier.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third time, you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe they did it, you know, 2 more times.
Yeah.
After that, you're wasting those.
Yeah. After you're beating a dead horse or a screaming goat.
Or a screaming goat,
So, yeah, I have here, it's like, and this kind of echoes my review. In my review, I said that Taika Waititi puts a tightrope out. And on one side, you have genuinely funny, and on the other side, you have too cute for its own good. And he kind of wobbles back and forth through the entire movie, back between those two. And as an audience, you're going to fall one side or the other. You're either going to love this and think it's funny, or you're going to fall over the side that where you're rolling your eyes and you're not going to stop. You're going to go one way or the other, I think.
Yeah.
There's not going to be an in-between.
I should have burned one down before I seeing this.
Yeah. Basically.
They did, I'm sure, before they wrote it.
Yeah.
So they were probably neck deep in the gummies writing this script.
Tessa Thompson didn't have enough to do in this film.
She did not.
And she didn't seem like her character in the previous film. Like, I didn't recognize her.
She didn't have, I get the feeling that a lot of it, like you said, was not, didn't survive. But... You know, most of the story is breezy and funny, and then, you know, Bale and Natalie Portman's storylines are darker, more ominous, and sometimes that creates an uneven movie. It's a very uneven, I thought, storyline.
Yeah.
And that can make your pacing feel off. It felt like it was longer than 2 hours to me watching it.
Well, yeah, and I, not to interrupt you on that, but it's like, even the very beginning of the film, when he's going through a whole, and he meets the first god. It's not a spoiler alert, it's like, but it's like, goes in there, and it's like, it's like you had this extremely dramatic moment leading up to it, and then he goes to this oasis, and then there's just this fucking stand-up comedian as a god.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, it just seems so weird.
Yeah.
Like, even that was the very beginning of the film.
Yeah.
It was just, I forgot. Okay, sorry. But it was, well, so we had to get through the trailers and such, but like roughly an hour, not even an hour into the film, like Taylor said, a couple stood up, walked out, and I'm like, I wonder if they're just going to be gone. Because I had been watching it for an hour. Or it wasn't even an hour. It was an hour and 15 later, and we had missed 15. It was basically an hour.
Yeah.
Because I looked at my watch. I'm like, oh, my God. Because this is, I was, it's bad if I'm watching it immediately thinking, how am I going to review this? Like, and not getting immersed. I'm like,
welcome to my world.
Yeah. I was just talking mad shit about the film in my head. But I looked at my watch, and I'm like, it's not even been an hour, and this couple has gotten up and left. I wonder if they're coming back, and they didn't. At the same time, I noticed some dude snoring.
He was sawing some logs.
Really hard. Yeah. Like, down somewhere on the first row, and nobody gave a shit enough to, like, go, hey, like, be like, hey.
Give him a nudge.
Like, he wasn't loudly, I mean, he was loudly snoring.
Yeah.
But it was, like, a loud, soft snore.
Yeah.
Almost pleasant.
Yeah. Did he bring a CPAP machine?
He didn't miss anything, I'll tell you that.
Because, yeah, they could have just given him, like, a machine, just kind of hooked him up, let him snore in peace.
God.
I mean, if you're not getting a lot of sleep at home, maybe try going to the theater and watching Love and Thunder.
Yeah.
That's my review.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a noisy movie. I've never been able to fall asleep during a noisy movie like
that. Yeah, it was noisy.
Sorry. Continue.
So, you know, Hemsworth is a funny actor, and that's why I welcome Ragnarok, because it gave him a chance to be funny, and it lifted the Thor franchise.
Yep.
I couldn't stand. I mean, the first movie was okay. I didn't like Dark World at all. So the third one was a nice breath of fresh air. It had that kind of, to me, it's like I have it here. It's like it gave it a new car smell.
You know? Yeah.
And that smell is gone in this movie. It's a different smell. It smells like goats.
Yeah.
It's the same smell, but this one's overpowering. They're like, do you like patchouli? And then they shoved patchouli up your nose and your ass for good measure.
Mm-hmm.
Too much patchouli.
Yeah. Well, it's like the Patton Oswalt thing. Do you like Angelina Jolie? She'd give you a big boner. Well, here's John Voight's ball sack.
Exactly. This movie was John Voight's ball sack.
But yeah, Taika Waititi tries to Xerox the vibe of Ragnarok into this movie, and the results just don't carry over.
Yeah.
You know, it feels longer than it is. It has pacing issues. As for example, it's like there's a scene between Thor and some Asgardian children, not giving too much away, but they go back to that scene over and over, and they repeat the same joke. Like you say with the fanning goats. Fanning goats, we go to that over and over, and the screaming goats. Fanning goats are a thing, by the way.
Yes.
We had one on the farm. So, yeah, you could clap your hands and it would fall over. But, yeah, screaming goats, it's like, I thought that, and that was a YouTube thing like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, it was great, and I watched it many, many times. But, yeah, that was just a weird choice, like you say.
I mean, in the comics, Thor has, and in mythology, he has goats that, flying goats that send him around on a chariot. But this, I enjoyed the nod, but too damn much.
It's a bit much. And as for without giving anything away about the end credits and mid credits and all that, it's like we got to keep track of some more goddamn characters. They couldn't have injected these people in there earlier. It's like, oh God, I said this in the review where it's like even my dorky eyes are glassing over how much plot they put in this movie. It's like, this is too much.
Yeah.
And they're kind of doing the multiverse of madness where it's like they do the cameos for the shock value. It's like, oh my God, it's so and so. Oh, he's playing Mr. Fantastic. You know, it's like they're going for the big shock value of it.
Yeah.
And it's I'm not really into this.
It's, I don't have a lot of faith in Phase 4 right now. Yeah. Oh, continue.
Anyway, I say this is, it's decent, it's watchable, it's unremarkable. 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much my summation.
Yeah. I think I'm 5.5, 6 maybe, depending on like, I'd probably say 5.5.
Yeah.
I wanted to give it less, but then I've seen Dark World.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. There's worse.
I mean, Thor: Dark World.
Yeah. It's great to have that perspective. So, but this has been another episode of Cinema Vino. It's a quick mini pod. Thor: Love and Thunder, in theaters now. Go see it or don't go see it.
And Blunder. Could it be? Could it be?
Ka-chow. What?
Copywriting that.
I'd say, it's worth seeing on video, like Disney Plus. Give it a shot.
Yeah, wait for streaming. Yeah. Don't pay extra for it.
Yeah.
Please, because otherwise they'll think they did something right and continue.
Mm-hmm. I will say Chris Hemsworth has got some butt cheeks.
He does, but you can hit pause on your television screen.
Yeah, that's true.
I will say, it really was, I think, his acting that kept me in it.
He's great.
He really did keep me in the whole film.
Yeah.
And I was like, he actually pulls off that like comedic. I love him. And also, quite frankly, Russell Crowe. I told Travis, because we're getting in the podcast, I really didn't know it was him because I didn't watch any spoilers for this.
Mm-hmm.
But when he came out down, and I was like, his voice. I was like, who is this? And when I finally saw him, I'm like, that's fucking Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, is that a spoiler alert?
Yep.
It's in the trailers, so it's like, there's
a. Oh, yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because he does the.
Yeah.
Like,
he's the one.
You flick too hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't say who he was.
And then.
It's Russell Crowe.
Without giving too much away. I mean, it's in the first reel of the movie, so Gore has a daughter. So it's not given. I mean, it's like within the first. It's the first opening scene of the movie.
Yeah.
That daughter is Chris Hemsworth's daughter in real life.
Oh, sure. Interesting.
That's his actual daughter.
Well, yeah, I heard Taika Waititi, Natalie Portman, and Chris Hemsworth all had their kids. So whenever, in the film, and they were just like, it's just cheap labor.
Yeah. Honestly.
Like,
yeah.
All right.
But anyway, we thank you guys for joining us. And we got Travis Budd, Bravis Tud.
Yo-hoy.
And Taylor Owens.
Yo.
Todd Wofford.
I say thee nay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's my review. If you want to go see Thor, I say thee nay.
I say thee nay.
Yeah.
Betwixt. And yeah, we'll bring Sean Jordan back for our next podcast. We'll get back to our time machine movies, time travel.
Is he in a hot tub right now?
He is, with a Chernobyl. Damn that movie to hell. But yeah, next we're going to do the Terminator. So we will see you guys next time.
Bye.
We'll be back.
It's funny because we will. Be sure to listen, rate, and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Our website is at cinemavino.net, and reviews of these films can be found at toddwoffordmovies.com.